Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 18th day of August, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Free Matt Hale Report. Our guest is scheduled to be Mark from Louisiana when he shows up. And in the meantime, we dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru Am Beth. Callers are welcome, but we do ask that you keep comments or questions as short as possible to allow others to participate. And a reminder that we are in the question and answer mode this morning. The website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's pastordan.net, and that Pastor Dan, by the way, is all together with no spaces or special characters. On that website, of course, we have a lot of information about our mission, also about the ARC project, archives of past programs, schedules for upcoming programs. We also have a lot of daily news and news items, historical items, and research items. Also, there are links there to other identity material that is posted on other websites. And with all the censorship going on today, it would behoove people to take note and take advantage of this stuff while we still can. And, of course, also download as many of the articles and studies and histories and electronic books that are available. And keep them on a thumb drive or some sort of device that you can shield for future reference should the worst case scenario happen, which of course is an EMP pulse that might wipe out digital electronics. You have to remember, digital works because of the very small voltage differential. Remember, computers all work in a binary code, which is ones and zeros. And in electronics, that's, say, either a voltage is there or it's not there. So a zero would be, say, 0 volts, and a positive one would be something in the order of 3 volts DC, direct current. And in order to get the speeds in the semiconductors that they have today, they had to lower the amount of voltage so that the rise time and the resetting time on a pulse was much, much shorter and quicker. However, the downside of that is now you have less distinction between a 0 and a 1, and you have to be very careful about shielding your digital equipment from spikes of voltage. So in the old days, semiconductors could take a little bit more of a hit, and today they're very, very susceptible to any kind of voltage spike on your house current or through the air in the form of EMP. So just keep that in mind. Again, it's not hard to shield your items. Anything that you care about and want to preserve, you ought to design yourself a little Faraday cage that you keep some thumb drives in there of personal data, such as, you know, family photos, digital photos, documents that you've scanned, certainly any identity material, and that sort of thing. I also keep a listing of all the memes and a backup of all my radio shows going back to 1999. And it is unfortunate that we have lost a few of those programs over the years. Not sure how that happened, but in the beginning I was relying on the radio stations to send me copies of programs, and sometimes they weren't always very good about that. Sometimes the recordings they made were terrible. Sometimes they just didn't even send a copy to me at all. So we are missing a few. In fact, we're missing a few of some of the most important ones that I ever did, especially those of Colonel Don de Grand Pre, who was the author of Barbarians Inside the Gates, the four-book series or the four-volume series of Barbarians Inside the Gates. Colonel Don de Grand Pre, who passed away back in 2010, loved that man. You talk about a patriot. He was the one who informed me about the truth of 9/11 within a month of it happening. He was a guest on the program to talk about his books, very revealing what he wrote in his books about who the barbarians are that are within our gates already, the vipers that Christ told us about many times. So a lot of wisdom in his books. They're still available. You can find them on Amazon and some of the other book sources. I believe there's even PDF copies now, but you can still get the hard copies. I believe his wife still makes them available. And Colonel de Grand Pre lived in Virginia, at least back in the day he did. So again, today when Mark comes on, we're going to be talking about the current situation with Matt Hale, who's been incarcerated in Colorado, but it was the Illinois justice system that wrongfully found him guilty and sentenced him to prison when there was no crime. So Matt, who has been a guest on this program, my interview with him was back in August of 2000, before his legal troubles started with the state of Illinois. But he was set up by a so-called confidential informant, or a paid informant by the government, who lied, obviously. And again, no crime, no physical crime had ever been committed by Matt, and yet he's been in prison for 14 years already, and virtually all of that in solitary confinement. What is his crime? That he promotes the white race. Okay? And he did that through the Worldwide Church of the Creator, also the promoting of Ben Clausen's book, The White Man's Bible. And Matt was the Pontifex Maximus of the church until he went to prison. And so those are some of the things that I hope Mark will call in here shortly and join us in a discussion about where things stand right now. I'm in contact with his mother, Evelyn, who's up in, it's either Illinois or Indiana, I can't remember, she might be Indiana. And her efforts to free her son, she's in constant communication with him. And it's really sad. I mean, here's this poor mother, her son, who educated himself and then put himself through law school so that he could work within the system to benefit white people who were being put upon by the system, the Jewish-controlled system. But they wouldn't let him practice law, even though he passed the bar exam and everything else, because here again, he knows what the enemy is up to and how they operate, and he's very pro-white, and obviously the angst in the New World Order against the white race is evident, and what they did to Matt is very evident. So now he's out in Colorado, a long way from home, which is what they typically do to our people, send them to a prison far from their home area so that visitation and support is very difficult. And it's also so that they can get away with the nefarious things that they often do to our people. Because, again, you know, family and friends are back in Indiana and Illinois, and his church members are primarily up there, as far as I know, but he's physically located in Colorado. They did that to Congressman George Hansen many years ago when he wrote the book exposing the abuses of the Internal Revenue Service. Okay, a lot of people don't know that, but Congressman George Hansen wrote a book called To Harass Our People, exposing, again, corruption and actual violence upon we the people by the Internal Revenue Service. Shortly after that, he was arrested and charged for some sort of a tax crime, put in prison when he did nothing any different than all the other representatives in Washington, D.C., But he was found guilty, put in prison, and then they dieseled him, what they call dieseling, which is move them constantly from one prison to another so people have a hard time forming any kind of support group and get used to the idiosyncrasies of that particular corrections institution. And they just keep moving them around, and it also makes them makes you more stressed out, and oftentimes leads to either suicide or having mental problems. So here, a sitting congressman's not even exempt from what these criminals will do in the justice system. And it's ironic that it's called the criminal justice system when it's actually injustice that we have today. And Matt Hale is just one example. We could talk about Uri Call, the son of Gordon Call, same thing. Never committed a crime himself simply because he's the son of Gordon Call, a decorated veteran who stood against the U.S. government and the IRS, and he was gunned down, or they attempted to gun him down on a lonely road one night with his son in the truck and opened fire on him. What they didn't understand or they didn't take into account was Gordon Call was a very good shot, being a veteran, and he dropped a couple of the marshals. Well, of course, the New World Order hates it when you hurt any of their guys, and so they came after him like fury, hell on wheels, and eventually they found him in a farmhouse that a friend had been putting him up, and he ended up being killed in there, and they mutilated his body. Their contempt for Gordon and all patriots is that high. So here again, you know, it's a war between us and them, them being the New World Order types and the traitors amongst our own people, and we the people, the patriots, the veterans, the former police officers, etc., who care about this country and the direction it's going. I'm not sure why, if you'll bear with me for a second, I want to send a text here to our guest and see why he has not joined us yet. So again, bear with me. I try to get the right page up here. But I talked to him last night, and he was very anxious to get on here and talk about Matt, and so that's why I'm kind of surprised. Now, something could, of course, come up. So I'll send him a quick note. All right, here we go. So we've got, like I said, Gordon Call and his son Uri Call. Again, Uri is still in prison ever since, I believe that happened clear back in the 1980s or 90s when they killed Gordon. So his son's been in prison all this time, and his poor family has been trying to get him out. And he, again, he's done nothing wrong. What do they want him in prison for? To keep him quiet so that he can't tell his story. He can't out what these criminals are doing. And so we're going to work very diligently to expose this kind of criminality. Now, he did write a book called Habeas Corpus, which I read that book. Very interesting to what happened to himself and his dad. I would suggest to anybody that has not read the book that you might want to get a copy of it. Again, Habeas Corpus, which is a legal term meaning present the body. In other words, if you don't have a body, you don't have a crime. If you're going to accuse somebody of murder, let's say, or rape, or whatever, habeas corpus means produce the body. If you don't have a body, you don't have a crime. It's just an accusation. That goes back to Old English law, the common law. And in America, that was the rule until the current completely Judaized system came into being, where Jews make accusations, and now they've turned it from presumed innocence in our system to where you're presumed guilty until you can prove to the Jew court that you're innocent. And that's what happened to Matt. They accused him of planning to kill a Jewish female judge up there in Chicago, I believe, And so they threw the book at him because of this paid informant and his bought-off testimony, which even if you read the court records, was not accurate. You could see it was a lie, and Matt proved that. Again, he was trained as a lawyer, even though they wouldn't let him practice. He still had the training. He knows how they operate. And so they never did prove his case, but being a typical Jewish female who hates the white race, they did everything and they could to throw the book at him. And now, again, he's sitting in prison for 14 years now, almost all of that in solitary confinement. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it needs to be fixed. The Bureau of Prisons is atrocious. And it's quite interesting, too, that lately I've heard from folks that the common practice today in America is to put minorities in charge. And that works out, of course, to their benefit, because the minorities oftentimes have a prejudice against white people. So whenever they want something done to a white person in prison, not hard to get that through. I've seen that same thing in my industry during my career and in many other places where minorities are put in charge. And that would include women. I'm going to throw women in there. Okay. Again, this country was founded and became the great nation it was with male, righteous male leadership. And if we don't get back to righteous male leadership, we're never going to come out of this mess, ever. And people don't like to hear that, but that's not my job to placate you and tickle your ears. I really don't give a damn whether you like what I say or not. If you can prove me wrong, that's different. But if it's just an emotional response and you're going to perform an ad hominem attack on my person, well, you might as well save your time and your energy. I don't really care. My commitment is to tell you what I know based upon what the Holy Spirit reveals to me and what I've studied. So again, do you want to succeed? Do you want the truth? Do you want America to return to its greatness? You know, all this hoopla about make America great again, but you're not doing anything to make America great again. And that includes the current administration. You're not doing anything to make America great. You're going to make the New World Order greater. You're going to enhance the deep state by constantly putting these Zionist dogs in positions of power. Okay? So how's that making America great again? You're not doing anything to promote the people that founded the country, namely the Caucasian Israelite people, especially the men, the righteous men of that group. They're nowhere represented in the swamp in Washington, D.C., or in most state capitals, even down to the county level. How many righteous white men are in charge? Okay? So if you want America great again, you have to return it to how it started out and under the rules that it started out under, which were biblical rules. And that's why I stress again, people lately, thank God, people lately are starting to get it, that a righteous monarchy, because you're not going to fix this system within the system. They have completely adulterated it and broke it. So get it out of your head that you're going to fix the system within the system. It's not going to happen. They're criminals. They're evil. They're satanic. But unfortunately for you and me, they're not completely stupid. They're arrogant. They make a lot of mistakes due to their vanity. But being complete retards, they are not. And so they have figured out how you could use the system to fix the system. And they have put roadblocks up everywhere within the system. That's why you see the criminal justice system and law enforcement full of minorities and women in positions of power and white cucks. Okay, they will let a white man get into a position if he's a cuck, but they're not going to let him in there if he's not. Now, there's a few exceptions, of course, but again, they are rare and hard to find. But that's the situation we have. So when your system is completely overrun, and by the way, Mark just sent me a text. He'll be calling in here shortly. So when the system is completely bankrupt of any of the checks and balances and the methods by which we could fix the system within the system, when they have been usurped and adulterated and roadblocked, what do you have left? I ask you, what do you have left? As I told that gentleman that was retired from military intelligence back in 2010, a military coup is your only option, folks. Why are you so upset with that? I have people say, well, I don't want violence, and I don't want a military option. You know, how do we trust the military? How do you trust the military? How do you trust what's going on today? Why not take a chance that there's some good military? Because I got news for you. If we don't have any white hats in the military, our goose is cooked. Save the second coming of Messiah, our goose is cooked. So you better hope there's a good military out there. There's men and women that still know. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Last night I watched a video put out by Colonel Roy Potter. Now, he doesn't put much out lately, but he put one out. And he basically was talking about the same things that we're talking about, that we've reached the tipping point. We're almost beyond the Rubicon as far as a peaceful resolution. Even John Mark in his videos is talking about that the leftist Bolshevik element of our society is making peaceful separation nearly impossible. So Colonel Potter was talking about the State of the Union, and let me just take care of something here real quick. I think Matt has called in, or Mark has called in. So just a second, Mark. I'll get you just in a second. So anyway, he was talking about the pitiful State of the Union and how the Second Amendment and the attempt by the power structure to eliminate the Second Amendment will be the trigger for the Second Civil War. He quoted former Navy SEAL, who's on TV interviews constantly, Matt Bracken, who's also the author of books. Matt Bracken said recently that any law enforcement or any military supporting the New World Order attempting to disarm America, they are no longer our brothers in arms. And he said, God help them. That's pretty plain. For anybody that's been in the military, that's pretty plain, even though it wasn't said outwardly, what Matt is referring to there. And I think those with ears to hear and have understanding know what I'm talking about. Mark, welcome to the program. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you're coming in loud and clear.
Great.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I've been kind of jibber-jabbing with the audience here waiting for you to call. You're a first-time guest on By Yahweh's Design. If you don't mind, Mark, would you take just a couple minutes to let the people know a little bit about you and your background so that, you know, they'll have that to arm themselves as we go forward in our discussion?
Yes, my name is Mark Quitt. I'm from New Iberia, Louisiana, and I'm a racial loyalist calling in supporter of Matthew Hale that's been locked away for 16 years for a crime that he's not committed, and trying to gather many people I can is to get some steam rolling to get his story out there in the mainstream media and the public eye on what is going on with our federal government framed him for a crime that's never been committed.
Amen, amen. So you're saying it's up to 16 years? I thought it was 14 years.
Well, it was 14 years, 2 years ago. It's been 16 years he's been in solitary confinement for a plot framed by the FBI.
I know, it's sickening. I re-listened to the interview I did with Matt back in the year 2000, and it was really a great interview where we went through all the 16 planks of the Worldwide Church of the Creator and how much they fit in with biblical teachings when it's correctly translated, of course. And it was a really great interview. Matt is a very well-spoken actually, he comes across as being a gentle, forceful, but gentle spirit. Certainly not what they're trying to portray him in the media and in the court system. Would you agree?
I agree with that. they locked him away for 40 years without any evidence of the elements of the charges because he stood and believed in the First Amendment, guaranteed and given the right of freedom of speech.
Amen. Amen to that. Interesting that you live in New Iberia. You know, Iberia is a Hebrew term, not Jewish, not Yiddish, but Hebrew, our language. Iberia means land of the Hebrews, the white Hebrews, the Caucasian Hebrews, in Paleo Hebrew, Iberia. And Spain was known as Iberia back in ancient times, land of the Hebrews, and Ireland was known as Ibernia, which means new land of the Hebrews, when our people traveled by ships and different vehicles to get up into the area of the United Kingdom. So again, fingerprints of who we are and what our racial identity is are all over the place.
Yes.
So let me ask, Mark, before we get too far into the discussion, do you want to give out any contact information for people that might want to either know more or help Matt?
Yes, sir. We have a website, freemathale.org, and you can contact his mother to get on the email list, and we have a petition on change.org, which has about 1,800 signatures that's going to be delivered. It's already been sent in to President Trump many times. Once I've reached 1,000 signatures, I sent it to him, and Matt's already asked for a commutation of sentence, and it's already been filed, so we're waiting to hear from that, and writing letters every week we can to President Trump, William Cooper's, Larry Cooper's, the acting pardoning attorney, and William Barr, United States Attorney Justice.
Have any of them responded that you know of, Mark?
Department of Justice, I'm sorry. Sir?
Have any of these entities responded?
I have got a letter from the U.S. Department of Justice, and it said it's been filed. They've got the commutation of sentence, and that it's been filed, but that's the last thing that I've got.
What's your gut feeling on that? Do you think we're going to see any justice from these people?
Well, we're just waiting to see. I don't know if President Trump's going to do it, if he's going to wait till the second term till he goes out, because, if he's freeing all these other people that have done crimes, but you've got a man that's been locked away for 16 years, and we've wrote a letter to talk to Tucker Carlson. We're trying to do anything we can to get it in front of President's eye that the justice is going to be made,
That's what's amazing to me. I just read that not long ago, the individual known as Donald Trump commuted the sentence of a Jew drug dealer who had hurt people and made lots of blood money on the drugs being sold to our young people, and yet he commuted his sentence.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Let me ask a personal opinion, Mark, on Trump, okay? In your opinion, black hat, gray hat, or white hat?
Maybe blue and white.
Oh, for the people listening that's not quite sure, blue and white's the color of the UN flag and the artificial nation called It's a Lie. That's also their colors. Interestingly enough, the same powder blue and white on both organizations. So,
I never thought about that way. Yeah, true.
Yeah, it is.
I forgot to give you Miss Evelyn's email, Matt's mother, which is a strong lady that continues to fight for her son every day, which is Evelyn Hutchison at freemathale.org. And it's freemathale.org, the website, and we have a petition on change.org. And if you could be kind enough to go on there and sign your name and support Matt, and the petition is being delivered to Donald Trump, Larry Coopers, the U.S. appointed attorney, and Mr. William Barr.
Yeah, amen to that. Freemathale.org. And is Evelyn Hutchison, is that all together, or is there any special characters?
No, no, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it's Evelyn.Hutchison.
Oh, okay.
Evelyn.Hutchison at freemathell.org. Her first one was just Evelyn Hutchison. She created a new one for the website.
Okay, so
she prefers you to use that one. Evelyn.Hutchison at freemathell.org.
freemathale.org. Okay, excellent, excellent. And the more of us that jump in and support, even if it's just letters, I hear from the nephew of Willie Martin. Willie Martin was a guest on our program many, many times from Texas and Oklahoma, and his nephew's been in prison for a very long time, and I've been writing to him and sending him support when I can. His address is up on our Prisoner of War page. I believe I put Matt's contact information on that same page on the website, PastorDan.net, because we do have prisoners of war. Uri Call, the son of Gordon Call, is another hapless victim of this damnable system that we've got. It just infuriates me when I read this stuff and see, because if our people were to do what the Christ told us when he walked this earth, that if you put yourself in the other man's shoe, well, put yourself in Matt's shoes. Here you've been sitting in a damn prison for 16 years,
yes,
sentenced,
yes,
to
sir,
40
well,
years, and you've never done a damn thing wrong.
Yes, sir. He believed as an American citizen, he had the same constitutional guarantees the rest of us also believe we have. If he's remained to be incarcerated, we the people are permitting our own enslavement by the same deep state that has wrongly condemned Matthew Hale.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the founding fathers would often talk about the fact that when you allow the system to do one person wrong, it's even if it's somebody that's not necessarily popular because of who they are or what they believe in or whatever, but when you allow the system to abuse that person, you're inviting the abuse all the way up the chain to the people that you don't have a problem with. So people should get involved. In fact, the Founding Fathers had another saying that it was better that 100 guilty men go free than to hang one innocent man. That's
yes,
how
sir.
Important.
Well, they framed him by saying that he solicited the murder of a judge, which he's offered to do a lie detecting test. And all this, and they won't do it, and so it just boggles my mind how he lock away a man that's never committed a crime, and it's being taped. And the last thing that was on that tape recording was he told the government informant, he said, "I know the law, brother, and I'm not gonna break it." Matt Hale was too smart. He didn't believe in going out hurting nobody. He passed the bar exam, and they denied him his law license just because he believed in was proud of the white race, okay?
Right, exactly.
So they denied him his law license. He passed the bar exam, denied him a law license. Then they put the government informant to follow him for years and years, saved all this money, and framed him because he believed in the right white race.
Right.
In a free speech. And the same crime was used to put Ruby Ridges, Randy Weaver, in the FBI's crosshairs. For refusing to wear a wire to record meetings of a white separatist group Weaver occasionally visited. And then Weaver was later acquitted of the crime of altering a shotgun paid by the same type of agent that followed Matt Hale in recording, not before Weaver's wife and the 14-year-old son had been murdered by a government agent. So this can happen to anybody, so you've got to be careful.
Yeah, I remember when they did that to Randy Weaver. I wrote him a letter when he was in jail. He wrote back to me, and he was found innocent in a civil trial of any crimes. In fact, his family was awarded $3.1 million many years ago for wrongful death.
They can't bring back Mr. Weaver.
Right. Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's why the perpetrators of that crime have never been brought to task.
Yep, nope, there won't be. Allow this injustice to keep going. You know, I just wanted to call the show, and like I said, I've never called in, but I appreciate you taking my time and letting Matt Hale's story be brought out in the light. But we need more followers and more supporters of Matthew Hale, free and innocent and smart man that's been locked away for 16 crimes for a crime never committed.
Yeah, I know, it's sick. One of our listeners just wrote in that Bill Barr's father hired Jeffrey Epstein at the New York College where he was dean. So that would tell me that Bill Barr possibly is part of the swamp.
Oh.
So man. Here again, I'm working with some people trying to get constitutional sheriffs elected and sheriffs that have power based on Anderson's book on sheriffs, constables, and coroners. The sheriff is the most powerful elected official in a county. He is more powerful than any state officer or federal officer because a sheriff's primary duty is to protect the people of his county. We need to get Matt's sheriff involved. First of all, find out if he's a constitutional sheriff or not. And if he isn't, get him involved with Richard Mack, the sheriff from Arizona, who has formed the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and get him educated. I found out there's a sheriff in Michigan that has stopped the IRS from taking people's property and funds for 10 years now. 10 years he's been able to keep the IRS out of his county because he knows he's been trained and he knows his power within the county. So
that's great. We need more people, more sheriffs like that.
Amen. Amen. We do. And according to Sheriff Mack, I believe he said he's trained somewhere in the order of 300 out of the, what is it, just over 3,000. So we've got about 10% of the sheriffs who have been properly educated, and I'm working with some people in Florida who want to establish a school to educate sheriffs on their constitutional authority. But here again, you need righteous men as sheriffs, okay? You can't give that kind of power to evil people. That's where we come in. We have to hold these public figures accountable for their actions, and we're not doing that right now.
I agree.
So what's the state of the Worldwide Church of the Creator right now, Mark?
It's kind of up in limbo right now. I mean, there's plenty of followers, and like I said, I would consider myself a creator. I'm a supporter of Matthew Hale. I'm a follower of Ben Clausen. And it was formed in 1973, and there's no church in where I'm at right now, but I'm just called to support Matthew Hale at the moment.
Yeah, one of the listeners here says, does anyone know what law firm Matt went to work for in Champaign, Illinois?
No, sir. You can contact his mother, and she'll be able to tell you that.
Okay, so again, Evelyn.Hutchinson@freemathale.org.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that's good. If you didn't catch that or you have trouble with that, send me a quick note. I will forward it to Evelyn. I have her email address in my book. So anything that if you're missing it in your notes, just contact me, and I will help anybody either get a hold of Mark, our guest, or Evelyn.
Thank you, Daniel. And you can sign up with her on her, and she will keep you updated on Matt's civil case and all his what's going on with his filings and stuff with the court, and they keep harassing Matt with his mail, so she'll keep you updated on the situation that Matt's facing.
Yeah, he's in Colorado now, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's in a maximum Florence. Security?
Yes, USP maximum, Florence.
It's sickening, absolutely sickening.
Yes. Yes,
so now you've read Ben Clausen's White Man's Bible. Have you read that?
Yes, sir. He's got the White Man's Bible, On the Brink of a Bloody Racial War, and she has books too if you're interested in the white race and believe in the advancement, expansion, and survival of the white race. She has books that you can also send a $25 donation. She has original printings by Ben Clausen, which she will be kind enough to send you if you send a donation to her, money order or cash, and her address is, if you email her, she will send you her address.
Yep. There we go. Yeah, we'll leave it there at that. Just email her. So I'm looking at my notes here. The thing in the interview that impressed me about Matt was the fact that, again, because he trained himself as a lawyer, he's a concert violinist, correct?
Yes, sir, correct.
So he's a musician.
He's a very talented musician, used to be in the choir and the orchestra, and we wrote letters to the warden there and almost thought he was going to get his violin to kind of get his spirits up. But then they said, no, we're not going to give you a violin. Well, maybe we'll give you a harmonica. So they just keep harassing and playing with Matt. They thought he was going to give him a harmonica to lift his spirits up. I think it was just another slap in the face, denied him his harmonica. And they're, recently they were thinking about moving him to another cell to give him, I think, maybe give him some time out of solitary confinement, which Matt didn't know if that was a good idea or not. But, you know, I didn't know if they was going to try to hurt Matt again, because you never know what these crooked people will want to do. They just got that power, so they want to keep harassing a smart man, you know?
Well, this gets back to something we've talked about often on this program, is that the prison system itself is unconstitutional and unbiblical. There should be no prison system. The Bible only allows two forms of punishment: restitution to the victim, if it's able to be restored, such as in theft, or execution, rape, murder, and kidnapping. And by the way, law enforcement needs to be very careful about the definition of kidnapping. Kidnapping is a capital crime. And when somebody's taken into custody and they're doing it against the Constitution and outside their jurisdiction, that is a form of kidnapping. So I know they're being told by their supervisors and officers that what they're doing is okay, but in a common law court of law by we the people, what your supervisors are telling you isn't going to get you off the hook. Okay? That does not justify committing kidnapping, rape, or murder. Just like that Arizona cop that gunned the young man down in the hallway of a La Quinta motel less than a year ago. He's still walking, okay? Because the jury wasn't allowed to see the body cam footage of him putting six rounds out of an M16 into a man in his underwear on his knees with his hands over his head in a La Quinta restaurant, motel. And he wasn't hurting a damn soul. His wife or girlfriend was standing right there not too far from him. And this son of a bitch shot him six times when he was not being threatened in any way, shape, or form, and he had five other fully armed compatriots behind him in the hallway.
Gee.
How the hell does a policeman get away with that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I see red every time I see these things, because the founding fathers, who were biblical people, said public servants are to be held to a higher standard, not lower standard. They have to be held to a higher standard than you or I.
Yes.
And we're not doing it.
We're not doing it. No, it's sad.
I'll tell you what, it's sickening, it's sickening, it's sickening. I don't know how much time you have, Mark. There is no limit on my end, but I know you're a busy guy, so if you have to jump out at any point, you certainly feel free to do so, but you also can stay on for any length of time you want. It's completely up to you.
Well, I appreciate it, Daniel, for taking my time, and Miss Evelyn told me to take the interview. You know, I've been busy, and I know you've had family stuff going on, and I was glad I got to call in, but I just wanted to call in and share Matt's story and get it out to as many people as we can with what's going on with Matt being framed for believing in supporting the First Amendment and the white race, and he wants everything we can do to get his story out there and in the mainstream. Do what you can, have rallies, go to the library, donate his books to the library if you can. He's written two great books already, which is, first one was Ending White Slavery, and the second one is The Racial Loyalist Manifesto. And racial loyalty should be our cause and nothing else. And And it's actually, he's writing on his third book now, which is The Triumph of Life. And you can get all his books from off the website or contact his mother. And I think anyone that believes in the white race should read his books, which are outstanding.
Yeah, excellent. Do you know Mr. John Crookston?
Yes, sir. I'm Mr. John. He's been he's filed motions, and I remember Mr. John. I think he joined the civil suit, and there's only a handful of them that had the balls to do it, to file a civil suit against the Bureau of Prisons and help support Matt and his legal business and his suits he's filing. But I remember Mr. John. Yes, sir. I remember a fellow by the name of Mr. John Crookston.
Yeah, I interviewed John about Matt Hill back in 2017 in May. It was a great interview, just like you're giving us as well, on the criminality of what's been done to Matt and other people like Matt. Like we said, you know, that this isn't the only case of injustice in America. Unfortunately, it seems to be the norm, especially if you're of the white race.
Of the white race, and he believed in he thought he had the same constitutional guarantees that we also believe we have until you stand up and say, oh, you support the white race. There should be a future for the white race. And then, like Matt was doing, he was used to have interviews and was on TV and Fox, and he started getting too much. I think he started under the Obama administration, he started getting too many followers and was in the limelight, was a smart gentleman, very, very well spoken, and they didn't like that. So they had to say, well, we had to nip this in the butt, and paid all this government informant to Evola, and Evola wore wiretap, and the last thing they had on the recording was, I know that Matt said, I know the law, brother, and I'm not going to break it. And they won't give him a polygraph test. They refuse to do that because they know that he'll pass it. Because he never told no one to go out and murder a judge, which they framed him for.
Amen to that. Let me ask you, are you familiar with Paul Craig Roberts?
The name sounds familiar, but not real. I don't think so. No, I don't. Paul Craig Roberts. No,
yeah, Paul Craig Roberts was in the Reagan administration. I can't remember which department, but he was pretty high up there. Well respected journalist and writer, but he just put out an article talking about the obvious attempt at white genocide in America.
Yes.
So if you get a chance, everybody should go to his website, Paul Craig Roberts. I believe it's .org, but it might be .com. But read his latest article on white genocide.
PaulCraigRoberts.com. I'll do that, Daniel.
Yeah, it is an eye-opener because, you know, a lot of people think people like us and Matt Hale are alarmists, extremists, paranoid.
Yes, but,
I've heard all that bullshit for years.
Yes, sir, and I'm getting sick of all these race cards they're pulling and these double standards. And we're not. They put that white separatist. I mean that you're a white supremacist and all this. But no, Matt's cause is wants to let everybody know we believe in racial loyalty to the white race and none others. If we was left alone, we wouldn't want to rule. We don't want to rule over nobody. If we was left alone and had our own white ethno state, we wouldn't have to deal with these other colored races.
Well, are you familiar with the black preacher in Harlem, New York, by the name of James David Manning?
James Manning. That yes, I've heard of James Manning.
He's a black preacher. He's got a radio ministry as well as a large congregation there in Harlem. But he came out within the last, I think it's the last 2 or 3 years, he came out and said, and I'm paraphrasing here, basically he said, we blacks have been on this earth for over 75,000 years and never developed anything more substantial than a mud hut and a dugout canoe. What makes you think we can...
Yes.
He said, America will never come back unless the people who founded it take back control, and that's the white man.
That's right. I watched the video on that, and he said, it's a damn shame. He said, you haven't done nothing. He said, it's the white man that lifts you up, and you keep digging yourself a hole because you think he owes you something. You owe yourself an apology. You owe yourself something for believing that he picked you out of the mud. I watched that. Yeah, it was in church, and he told the whole congregation about it. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, he also made another good point. He said, now, you people are relishing in the demise of the white man's power in America. He said, but let me tell you something. They built this country, and when the white man is no longer in control and has been disenfranchised, this country will sink, and just like a ship on the ocean, when the ship goes down, you're going to go down with it.
Yes, they want to live in a white man's world without evil whitey, but when the white man disappears, so does his way of living. So they'll be back and living in mud huts again and eating each other and practicing witchcraft and voodoo and all that.
Yeah, it was amazing to me. I interviewed an Indian fellow many years ago when I lived in Ohio, and he was the pastor of a Assembly of God church there. And he was, previous to that, he was ordained and lived in Morocco in northern Africa. And he told me about some of the practices in the villages in northern Africa and how much voodoo and black magic is actually performed there. And then he told me something that completely shocked me, that the leaders of the black magic of these villages is the local priest.
The Catholic priest.
The Catholic priests were actually the leaders of the black magic rituals within the villages.
That's nuts.
So, because we got into this conversation because I had just found out about the Chick publications, those comic books that expose the Catholic Church. And I thought he was exaggerating, to be quite honest. I knew the Catholic Church is full of errors and corruption, but I had no idea it was so bad as he was portraying in these publications. So I went to this guy because I knew he was trained as a Catholic in his youth, and I gave him about 6 or 7 volumes of these comic books, and I said, would you take a look at these and tell me what you think of them? So about a week or so later, I went back and we had coffee together, and that's when he told me, he said, these publications are true. He said, what you have to understand, Daniel, is that Americans only know Roman Catholicism light. He says Roman Catholicism in America is wimpish compared to Catholicism in the rest of the world. It is a political organization, and it rules with an iron fist.
Yes, I hear you.
So white men and women need to be aware of that little jewel or that little tidbit of knowledge as well.
Yes, I hear you.
We have a lot of things to fix, and getting Matt out of prison, I think, is something everybody should be praying about and doing everything that's within their power, of course. Not everybody has a ton of money, but they can do something.
They can do something. Donate his books to your local library. Write to the president. I don't know if that's going to help, to Attorney General Larry Cooper's or William Barr, but go to your local newspaper. Write stories to your local newspaper. Have rallies. Get in the streets. Free Matt Hell signs. You know, he's fought to regain his freedom for over 16 years, and all he's asking to do is give 10% to get him out. Because if we can't save Matt Hell, how do we think we're going to save the white race? Because Matt fought for the white race his whole life, and with the support of his family and friends and supporters, is the only way it's going to happen. If President Trump doesn't stop this political correctness, Matt's the only first one to suffer. Then there'll be far, far more of us in prison and tortured by the deep state just by believing in the white race. And we think we have a First Amendment right that Matt's been framed for believing in freedom of speech. So this political correctness stuff has to stop. If you take away the first and then take away the second, we can't back the first if they take away the second.
Amen. Well, I've said for years, when they attempt to disarm us, that's the clarion call to action right there.
That's very, very clarion. Yes.
Yep. That's the clarion call that the war has gone hot, so to speak. For you veterans out there, you know what I'm talking about. So the war has gone hot. It's no longer an ideological discussion. It's no longer can the system be fixed. It's outright Bolshevik takeover versus patriotic American. So you choose which side of the fence you're going to be on. You're not going to be able to sit this one out, folks. I've told you that for 20 years that we've been on the radio. You can't sit the fence on this go-round. It's going to be impossible. So pick your side now.
Amen. Amen.
So unbelievable. If nothing else, folks, go to freematthale.org and get the address and write Matt a letter.
And get the facts and the trial transcripts on the website. Write Matt Hale a letter. He'd love to hear from you. The trial transcripts are on his website. You can read the whole document. Never crime committed. And the facts and circumstances, Miss Evelyn, his mother, can email you. And he's sent out a press release, which was August the 1st. And so you can catch all these facts on freemathale.org. Write him a letter. His address is on there. Donate to him. Sign the petition on change.org. The link's on the website. We need more support from Matt. Free Matt Hale.
Let me ask you, Mark, has anybody contacted constitutional lawyers? I know there's a few in the world.
Well,
down here,
Evelyn contacted what was his Invictus Augustus, and
yes.
he was supposed to help Matt and help him get some legal work done. And I'm not sure how that went. I think he just kind of lollygagged around, to my knowledge, and really got anything done. The last time I spoke to Miss Evelyn about it, she said it didn't go too well.
I wonder why. He was one of the callers on one of our radio shows recently, and he sounded like he was a pretty good fellow. How about Chris Ann Hall, who's the constitutional lawyer here in Central Florida? Has anybody attempted to contact her?
No, I haven't tried. I would be more than glad to.
Yeah, she's got a YouTube channel. Chris Ann.
Okay.
Chris Ann Hall, H-A-L-L.
Got you. Got it. Got it written down.
But she is a very outspoken constitutional lawyer here in Central Florida. Her and her husband, who's a pastor, they have a YouTube show daily, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's daily, where they discuss some of the nonsense going on. And, of course, they talk about the unconstitutionality of a lot of the things going on in the criminal justice system, the absolutely abysmal criminal justice system here in the United States.
Yes, well, I don't think a lawyer's going to do it at this point. I think the only one that's going to be able to pull the reins off of Matt is President Trump. But Matt Hale's trial was tainted in prejudice, really, by like an old-time Soviet purge than really American justice. It was just a Soviet purge how they did him.
Right.
And the idea that being politically incorrect can send a man to prison for 40 years should be a great concern today.
Absolutely. Yep,
you know,
absolutely.
Freedom of speech and being politically incorrect and gave you 40 years and nothing, never told nobody to commit murder, never told no one to go out and commit a crime, but believe in the survival and expansion and advancement of the white race. And then you send your, and the next thing you know, you're in solitary confinement, which he's been in 16 years. It's just totally asinine.
Yeah, and again, people need to think about this. If it happened to Matt, it can happen to any of us.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's what I'm trying to get out there. And Miss Evelyn's been saying that if you think it could happen to Matt, well, it could happen to you too.
Yeah, it's sick. There's no doubt about it. Well, again,
Matt Hale's a very strong man. He continues to work against the injustice he suffers, and he keeps fighting with his legal work and filing lawsuits against the Bureau of Prisons and his mail reader, Rudy Marks, which keeps harassing his mail. And you got Muslims in prison that can have their Quran and believe in the religion, and the Bureau of Prisons says, oh, no, creativity is not a religion. Well, if you can, they got religions where you can worship artificial intelligence now. So how can a man say, oh, you can worship artificial intelligence, but you can't have a religion that believes in your race? So yeah. Matt Hale can't speak about creativity. If you write about creativity or anything in the letters, they send it back as gang activity. Yet you've got Muslims in there that can get their Quran, and you've got Muslims at work and say, oh, I need a certain time off. I got to go pray. I need to go pray. But you've got a man in jail, and you keep harassing him and say, no, this is not a religion. It's a gang. Well, if you're going to consider creativity a gang, well, you need to start considering other stuff a gang. You can't have your cake and eat it.
Well, they can because they're corrupt and they're Bolsheviks.
They're corrupt.
And
they're Bolsheviks. Yep, and they keep harassing Matt, poor Matt, and he keeps fighting with his legal work. So I'm just calling in to help Matt out and support him and do this interview for him, the white race, and his mother.
Yeah, amen. Well, bless your heart, Mark,
Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Oh, you're welcome, and it's an open invitation anytime you want to come back with an update or any other things that we can do to help.
Okay, I will sure visit your website and call back in again when I get some an update. But till then, freemathale.org, Free Matt Hale.
Yeah, amen to that. Bless your heart, keep up the good work, and let's press on until we get this whole mess straightened out.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel, for having me. Have a good day.
Yeah, you take care, Mark.
You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Mark there in New Iberia, Louisiana, who's helping Evelyn Hutchinson and her son, Matt Hale, with the injustice done to that family. I'll tell you, I remember when Edgar Steele was being persecuted, and Cindy Steele and her lawyer became a guest on this program. Great interviews, and it was heartbreaking to listen to Cindy talk about what was done to her husband. And in this case, it was the same thing as Matt. Edgar Steele was 25 years without a single failure in the criminal justice system in California. Edgar Steele, when I spoke to him, had 25 years of no failures. I asked him, how is it that you're able to be so successful? And Edgar Steele said, well, it's easy because I only take the cases I know I can win. I thought, well, that's pretty smart. And the reason I asked that is because he was in the process of helping Richard Butler, who was Pastor Richard Butler with Aryan Nations, when they were wrongly accused and falsely accused of some shootings at people up there on a road. It was a setup, obviously a setup by the Jews. And at that time, Edgar Steele did not realize how much influence these creatures from hell, as Christ called them in John chapter 8, these creatures from hell, how much they had infiltrated the criminal justice system. Well, as he said, he took Richard Butler's case because it was a slam dunk. There was no way that Aryan Nations and Richard Butler were guilty of any crime. And yet they were railroaded, they were bamboozled, and in the end, a judgment against Richard Butler. So his first loss. Edgar Steele turned around and became a prolific writer and doing interviews about the Jewish manipulation of the criminal justice system that was done in not only his case, but in many others. Well, they finally got him, much like they got Matt, on a false charge of attempting to kill his wife. Now, Cindy came on our show, By Yahweh's Design, with her lawyer and stated that they told the government that there was no attempt to kill her. She goes, I love my husband and he loves me. I have no doubt about that. There was no attempt to kill me. Oh, but we found a makeshift bomb underneath your car, and we can prove that your husband did it. Well, actually, he didn't. There was proof that a paid informant for the government was the one who put it underneath the car. Was he found guilty of doing something wrong? Nope. He's got a reward in walking the streets. Edgar Steele was put in prison. While in prison, they poisoned him, and he ended up dying while in custody, which is another thing that pisses me off. What's the word custody mean? When you're told in a court of law that you have custody of your children, what does that mean, people? Custody means care. Means you're responsible for that individual because they cannot take care of themselves. In the case of a minor child, they're too young. So you have custody. When law enforcement takes a person into custody, they're responsible for the well-being of that individual because you have robbed them of their liberty. They cannot take care of themselves because it has been taken from them by this, quote, criminal justice system. Therefore, they, the criminal justice system, the judges, the lawyers, and the law enforcement officers are responsible for your well-being. When you get hurt or you get ill in prison, they need to be held responsible. If you die in prison, they need to be held accountable for that. And just in case some of you anxious people out there have a inroad to the legal people, have them go to 18 United States Code, which is USC, 18 USC sections 241 and 242. Those are the penalties for public servants who conspire to deny we the people our constitutionally protected rights. And they're pretty stiff. In fact, the minimum upon being found guilty, the minimum sentence is 10 years in prison. Up to and including execution if death results. So in the case of Edgar Steele, some public servant needs to be tried for murder. In the case of Matt Hale, it would be less than murder, but it's far more than 10 years and a multiple thousands of dollars fine. Much more than that, because he's had 16 years of his life taken from him when there was no crime. These public servants need to be held accountable. You want to know why America's a absolute walking joke in the world today? Because the rest of the world isn't as dumb as the brainwashed American that's got his head full of bullshit coming to him from their flat screens, whether they're TVs or tablets or phones. They can see clearly. They have rational minds that still work. They're not as polluted with electromagnetic garbage being pounded into their system to where their brain barely functions. They can see that injustice are done, and we blithely go through our lives and ignore these injustices. What does our holy book tell us? We call it the Bible, which is just from the Greek word biblos, meaning book. Okay? It's a compilation of scriptures written by our ancestors. What did they tell us in the old parchments? When innocent blood is not avenged, your land is cursed. Are you following me? Your land is cursed, America. You can say the same thing for every other white nation as well. You're cursed in everything that Deuteronomy 28 and 29 talk about. Read the blessings and the cursings in the book of Deuteronomy. All of the cursings that come from disobedience to our Heavenly Father, you are living them. But you know what? How many of our people in their little pea brains realize the trouble we're in and how to fix it? Hosea 4:6, 2 Chronicles 7:14 are a couple quick places you can go for the solution. The solution is to repent. Repent and return to the Father. How many people realize that? How many people are talking about actually doing that? I just wonder. Gary, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you this morning?
I'm hanging in there.
Well, after I listen to you and Mike, it's a little upset. But, you know, I already know all this stuff. You know, just somebody brings it to my attention. It's really sad how we elect officials to protect us, to obey, because it's like a big corporation, to make sure it runs correctly and there's all the things they're supposed to do, and they're the biggest criminals going. You know, I'm wondering why we don't have any hangings going on. These guys are absolute criminals, and the only way that any of these bureaucrats can get away with this is because the elected officials allow them to do it. It's really sad. You know, I've seen it happen, though. My brother up in Washington, he's like John and some of those others, really sharp in law, and he goes to court and he does those things. He's been to the Supreme Court of Washington, and he flat said, he says, there's the law. And they didn't care. They don't care. They rule contrary to the law. They do this all the time. And we've got some of our good guys like Hale in jail and Steele dying in jail. I mean, this thing goes on and on. And here in San Diego, our sheriff is the guy, Gore, that was in charge of the FBI that did the thing on Weaver, I think up in Washington there, or whatever that state was that he was in, but he's the one who was in charge of that, and now he's our sheriff. And
wow.
You were talking about the sheriffs. This guy is nothing but a crony. He was walking down the street with some things on a political thing, and I asked him, I says, do you enforce the law? Yes, absolutely. I said, sure you do. So, as I sit there and I listen to you guys this morning talk, you know, when crap hits the fan, they're not going to like it because they'll be hung.
Yeah, because when they're found guilty by a citizen's court, and by citizens, I'm talking about sovereign Adamic men who pass a test for righteousness, basically biblical knowledge and common sense, but they have to be able to pass a oral exam by elders of the community to be sure that they're righteous. So a court, a jury of righteous men, if they find them guilty, then they will get the punishment they deserve. Which comes out of the Bible, by the way. When the court system in America first started, the Bible was opened up to the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and set before the bench. That's why you stand. When the judge comes into the courtroom, you don't stand for the judge. The judge is just a referee. Nobody's special, just a referee, that's all. You stood up because the scriptures were being brought in, because they pronounced judgment on the guilty. So the standing, when a judge walks into a courtroom now, I don't stand up because he's not carrying a Bible, which means it's not a Christian court of law. That's why there's no justice in it. It's a Jewish Talmudic court. It's all Talmudic. There's no Christian common law there. By the way, I want to put out that people can go to the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association website, which is CSPOA.org. And on that website, you can find a survey that you can get your sheriff to fill out, or fill it out for him if you already know the answers. But it's a survey that can be determined whether your sheriff is lawful and constitutional or not. So right there on their website, they provide a survey for you to use to find out just what kind of sheriff do you have in your county?
Well, we know what ours is. His name is Gore. And he had Randy Weaver's wife and the dog and the son shot. So we know who ours is.
Well, exactly.
This guy made him a sheriff.
Yeah, I know. It's quite sickening, actually. Quite sickening.
See, when a guy gets elected to Congress as a congressman, he's supposed to be a servant. I mean, I read the scripture. He's supposed to be a servant, supposed to serve the people. They don't. They think they're some kind of little god.
Mm-hmm.
And they run around demanding respect, demanding this and demanding that. And if you're a Democrat, you're even above God. You know,
right.
That's,
right.
You know, look at what they're doing. And like you, well, you want to know what would happen if the Jews were in control? You got it right now. They're in control. They're in power. This is not a Christian nation. This is a Jewish nation.
Yeah, they've taken
now,
over.
Yes, they have. And the Bolsheviks, they're Edomites. You trace them all the way back, and they go to Esau. And Esau, of course, is our enemy. And he wants to do away with us. And he appears to be today doing a good job. But there comes a time when he has to face our king.
Yeah,
and our king is...
Go ahead.
Our king is Jesus, so he don't stand a chance. You know, and they can bring out their king. He don't stand a chance because our king made him, created him. You know, so he knows how to dismantle him.
Right. Well, there's a day of reckoning coming for everybody. It's not only coming from the satanic forces, but, you know, what our people seem to forget is our father said that he was going to cleanse his own house first. Okay? A lot of people forget about that.
Yeah, and it's sort of doing a little bit right now. I mean,
our house is being cleansed because look how many white people are now falling into race mixing and all of the mental and physical ailments that come along with that. How many white people are consuming pharmaceuticals and their body systems are shutting down, their joints are falling apart. How many of them are involved in the corporate world that's creating all kinds of stress? I just lost my sister to this, so I'm very, very familiar with what all of this crap we're talking about does. Because my kid sister was only 62 years old, and now she's in the ground. Okay, why? Because of the very things I'm talking about. Our people just don't listen. These things will kill you.
They say, if you was to tell somebody, oh, you're listening to those conspiracy guys. Are you listening to... Well, yeah. Matter of fact, I'm sort of part of it. I've been part of it for 40 years. And, you know, Pastor Dan, how long have you been on now? 30, 40 years?
Well, I've been speaking for 30 to 40 years, but that was mostly in public, on the radio for 20.
All I know is I was there when you had Pastor Eli come in. You had a whole bunch of them. And through your radio station, they gained some notoriety. And so you've been there for quite a while.
Yeah, I was at the beginning when talk radio wasn't cool. Internet talk radio wasn't cool. I was there, just like they say about country music. I was country when it wasn't cool. Well, I was part of the alt media, the citizen journalist and exposer of criminality back when it wasn't cool. I think you remember back in the day when it was, we considered ourselves blessed if we had 6 or 7 people listening in a given night. But
oh,
we
yeah.
kept going because Christ said, I came as an example. Our Messiah, the Anointed One, was able to change the world with just 12 men. And they didn't have cell phones, tablets, or the internet. And yet they changed the world. Just 12 men. Dedicated men could change the world. The Messiah and 12 men.
And then there was another guy named Paul who went out and did more. One guy. You know, not everybody disagrees, or not everybody agrees with what he said, but he convinced a lot of people. So, you're right.
Yeah, he did. And the thing I like, and for some reason I cannot find that verse. I found it years and years ago, but I'm having a hard time finding it again. There is a verse where Paul says that his letters, his writings, or whatever he's writing to these churches, was not to be used for a new law. And that's common sense anyway. Paul was not given the authority to come up with new law. Messiah had already given his testimony. The Gospels were written. Paul was never in a position where he could undo the prophets and Messiah. Never. He simply wrote letters of explanation to specific churches dealing with the problems in that church. So his letters are what we call an addendum to the Gospels. His letters should not be canonized. They should be an appendix to the Scriptures. Because Paul himself never claims that what he wrote to those churches were to be used in the same regards as the words of Christ or the prophets. That's just common sense. So what I tell people to do, just take Paul's letters, and the book of Acts, by the way, are not Paul's. The book of Acts stays in the New Testament. But the letters of Paul should be annotated as an appendix, supportive material. So when the New Age church, what you think about it, what do the Roman Catholic people, the Roman Catholic people, and the Protestants, which are the daughters of the whore, what do they use mostly to justify their completely perverted version of Christianity today? The letters of Paul. Okay? The very thing that Christ, the prophets, and common sense and the Holy Spirit tell you shouldn't do is what we do. We take the letters of a man who himself said, I'm not writing new law, and we've made it law, and we run our churches based on the letters of Paul, or what we think Paul was saying. Even Peter and the other apostles stated clearly that the letters of Paul were confusing. So men who lived at the same time Paul did and who walked with the Christ said the way Paul's writing is confusing. Now, 2,000 years later, we think we know what Paul had in his head, and we've established a whole church system based on these nebulous letters that a man wrote 2,000 years ago that his own contemporaries said, this is confusing.
Well, you know what, Pastor? There's a whole bunch of books that were in the Bible that were taken out.
Yes.
And Paul's writings were put in by the Catholic Church.
That's right.
What I always say is, what does Jesus have to say? When I'm talking to somebody, they say, well, over here, and I say, yeah, that's Paul's writings. What does Jesus have to say on the matter?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
exactly.
They say, well, if there's a contradiction here, you know which one's telling the truth here then, don't you? It's Jesus. That's what we go by. We don't go by Paul. Paul never rose from the dead. Paul never was the Son of God. Never. Paul was never any of these things. As a matter of fact, Paul used to kill Christians, if you guys want to use him as an example.
Exactly.
Of course, I look at Paul differently than you guys do, but I know what Jesus said. That's what's important. What did the Master say?
Amen. And not only that, but think about this. For his true sons and daughters, you have real-time communication through the Holy Spirit in prayer. So even if you don't read a Bible, even if you don't own a Bible, you can still communicate with your Father. So what better form of discernment do you need than real-time, at this moment, communications with who created you? It should be at your gut level, folks. It's called common sense. Common sense.
All in people that were saved at the time of Christ, or even after his crucifixion and resurrection, they didn't have Bibles. All they had is what they said, and they communicated with the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's what they had at that time. Well, I got the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It was a big deal in that time because it was like we have the Bible today. They had the Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Spirit. I've been saved. Hallelujah. So this is what they had, and they were able to talk to the Holy Spirit. They were a little different than we are today, that's for sure. But today we have, I mean, you and Mike this morning were telling all major problems. But I've seen, I'll never forget when they come into my house, the police did here in San Diego, threw me around and did all kinds of things to me in my house. They never searched for nothing. They came in there saying I had a parolee in there. You know?
Yeah.
I said, this
law
guy was
enforcement,
in
there. Law enforcement in America is out of control. By the way, his name's Mark. Mark,
okay. Law,
I had that happen to me when I was in New Jersey. One day the sheriff's car pulls up, and the sheriff comes up knocking at the door. I open the door, and he walks right into my house. He never even said what the hell he was there for. No warrant, no nothing. Just walked in my house. Well, it turned out somebody had said somebody that had a juvenile delinquent or a parolee or somebody was in my house. I have no idea who the hell told him that. He never bothered to explain it, never bothered to show any documentation, no identification, just walked right past me into my house, caught me off guard, or I would have stopped him. But here's the point, is that's the attitude they're inculcating in our law enforcement. Actually, they should be called public servants or peace officers. Law enforcement is a Jew term that was started back in the 80s and 90s. Law enforcement is not... who they are.
I think the law should be enforced against the Jews.
Well,
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, but they're not doing that.
They like to do little kids things.
Here's why the Jews. This is why there's a paradigm shift when the Jews wanted us to use the term law enforcement instead of police officer or peace officer, because they had reached the point where they had infiltrated the law schools and the court system and the government to where they were going to make Talmudic Bolshevik laws. And so they needed an army that would go out with the idea that anything on paper that they generated needs to be enforced. And so they called them law enforcement. What's a peace officer's job? To maintain the peace. When I was a boy, you never saw a police officer on your property unless a neighbor called them and said that you were disturbing the peace. You see the difference? Okay. They were never called to a property saying, we created a new law, and you better go enforce it. Because laws are created all the time that are unconstitutional and immoral. A peace officer was only there if you were disturbing your neighbor's peace.
You know what, Pastor? I remember one time speaking to you, I guess it was a couple months ago, on... these politicians, and even some bureaucrats, they have to put their hands on the holy book, the Bible, and swear to uphold the Constitution. And then they turn around, and gun control. When you have that idiot, that woman, that black one that's running for president, they're talking about gun control, how we take the guns. Wait a minute. She swore to uphold the Constitution. The Second Amendment uses the word infringe. She's infringing upon it. Why isn't she in prison?
Yeah, she should be charged with treason.
They're not upholding the Constitution.
No.
And number one, if they do want to take the guns away from, do you take it away from the non-whites and give it back to the whites? Because they're the ones that have the right to bear arms, not all those other things.
Well, the Supreme Court, as late as the late 1800s, supported the founding fathers when they threw cases out of court, saying the plaintiffs or the appellate plaintiffs were not in proper standing with the court because the Constitution only applies to white people.
As a matter of fact, it's what's his name, Justice? The black judge. He was a Supreme Court Justice.
Marshall.
Thurgood Marshall. He flat said it wasn't written for black people.
Watched
that movie he's got out, you know. He says it right in the movie. The Constitution is not written for the black, he calls them men, but they're not men. They're black males.
Yeah, okay. when the Founding Fathers said all men are created equal, they were talking about all white men are created equal. They weren't talking about everything with two legs and male equipment. That's ridiculous.
No, because you can't. The word man actually comes from the scriptures, and you got to go to the Strong's or the Young's to look up the definition, and it says to have a to blush or have a ruddy complexion. Blacks don't do that. Neither do Mexicans. Neither do all the others. Only one race does that, has a
right.
pink complexion. You know, and
right.
that's us. You look at your hands and they're pink. You know, so that's who it was written for. There was blacks there. I didn't see any blacks in there mentioned. There was Mexicans. They had those. They had Indians. They had all of them. We didn't talk about them. They weren't even there in the writings. And all of these guys did this were very brilliant men. They could speak about 3 to 4 languages, even more. So,
the founding fathers weren't burdened with electronic entertainment and distractions the way our people are today. So they had plenty of time to read books and to study. And so most of them were very, very well read about philosophy, history, the sciences, and you're right. Most of them could speak at least 2 or 3, and I think Thomas Jefferson could speak 5 or 6 languages, and many of them understood other languages. Again, this is in a time period where there was no internet, there was no telephones, there were no telegraphs, there were no electronic tablets and all this stuff. They had to learn it the old-fashioned way.
Read.
But they did that. They were able to do that because they weren't distracted with all the mindless, moronic entertainment that our people imbue themselves with today, to where they don't have any time because they fill up every waking moment with some kind of meaningless entertainment. They think their job on earth is to be entertained and have a party. I've actually had white people say that. Well, my job before I die is I got a bucket list of all the things I want to enjoy. My job is to enjoy as much stuff as I can enjoy and get as many toys as I can accumulate. What? What kind of frickin' life is that?
American way today.
I got a question for you, Gary. Can you imagine the person with that attitude on the day he stands in front of the white throne of Yahweh to give an accounting for his life? Can you imagine what it's going to feel like when they have to explain to their creator what they did with the precious gift of life that was given to them?
Party is not going to fly too hard.
No, that's right. Just picture yourself sitting up there with that majestic robe on and sitting on your white throne, and you've created this beautiful world, and you put these beautiful white people down here, and you gave them life, and you gave them intuitive ability and a reason, a rational brain, and they stand in front of you and said, "Well, yeah, I appreciate that there, old man, and I sure had a hell of a good time." What do you think he's going to say? What would you say if your children stood in front of you with a lame-ass excuse for what they did with their life?
That would go over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, it would go over, as my mother used to say, it would go over like a fart in church.
Turd in a punch bowl. It's terrible.
That's right. And yet, most white people, that's exactly what they've got to look forward to. You know, it's the scripture says that faith without works is dead. And what does it mean by that? It means that if you truly believe something, it's going to affect what you do with your life day in and day out. If you truly believe. The problem with the white man today is he has no faith. That's what Christ meant when he said, "Will I find faith upon the earth at my second coming? Will I find faith upon the earth?" What's the answer to that question? Not much.
Not towards him. He said, they said, "How are we going to..." Now they're going out to minister, his apostles and the disciples. And they were going to minister to these people that they didn't know about Jesus. They're going to go out and share the Gospels. Okay, so these people were just regular people. But Jesus, this is in chapter 10 of Matthew, "Go not but to the lost sheep, the house of Israel." Okay, how are we going to tell? You can tell by their fruits. So they're going to act a different way than the regular people do.
Right.
And he says that's how you can tell who you can minister to. If they don't act like that, you don't minister to them.
Something I've noticed, Gary, is when I meet people who love our Heavenly Father and who love truth and justice, they have a light in their eye. Their eyes sparkle, okay? And that is what people don't seem to understand. That's why in the old days, when you met somebody and they were trying to deal with you, whether it's in a store or a saloon or even on the street, it used to be a saying, look me in the eye when you talk to me. Look me in the eye, because you can't trust somebody that won't look you in the eye, because the eyes are the windows of your soul. And what they don't seem to understand is a white man who's full of the Holy Spirit, there's fire in his eyes. That's why a Jew won't look you in the eye. When you're a spirit-filled believer and you're dealing with a Jew, he has a very hard time looking you in the eye. And I know that because I've dealt with county prosecutors and assistant prosecutors and judges and lawyers in the courtroom. And when your righteous indignation is burning inside of you, they cannot look you in the eye. It terrifies them. They know they're the sons of Satan. They know they're doing the work of Satan. They know that they have no rightful authority on this earth. None.
Well, I think it's about time that we aren't going to. Our Savior is going to make the time, and there's going to be a turnaround. And it's like those judges that did this stuff to Hale and Steele and the rest. They are going to wish they didn't do that.
Well, I like what Matt Bracken said about anybody in the legal profession, judges, lawyers, cops, and soldiers. If they support the New World Order in trying to enforce this Bolshevik takeover, then they have broke faith with men-at-arms, and they are no longer our brothers. And I'm speaking as a veteran myself. They are no longer my brother. And as Matt Bracken said, and he's a former Navy SEAL, God help them. It reminds me of a T-shirt worn by a U.S. Army veteran that I know here in Florida. He had a T-shirt on about a month ago when my sister was in the hospital, and it shows a knight on the back in full armor and his shield and sword, and it says, if you mess with me, I will fight you. If you mess with my family, they will never find the body. When you mess with my family on this continent, you mess with my kin anywhere in this world, they won't find your body when we're done. I hope that the enemies of all that are good and right out there and just understand what we're saying. This is a declaration of war, because the Bolsheviks are not going to stop until we're either dead or enslaved. That's their ultimate goal.
The one thing that we always forget with the Bolsheviks, who are Edomites, I have enmity against Esau forever, our Savior said. Okay? The Edomites, which are the Bolsheviks, slaughtered 100 million people of our race, our people, before World War II and during. And the way they were able to do that, of course, was first they came through with gun control. People had nothing to defend themselves with.
That's right.
And the Bolsheviks had everything. See, this is how they do it. And if this is what they're trying to do now, if they get gun control, there'll be a slaughter. People don't recognize that. They don't know. See, the Jews are your Bolsheviks. As a matter of fact, you know what nationality my wife is, and I've heard before her is a lot of the women in Germany committed suicide when they heard the Bolsheviks were coming in because they didn't want to be molested. They knew what the Bolsheviks would do.
Yeah.
So that's how serious it is. When these women would actually commit suicide so that they can't be mishandled by these Bolsheviks. And yet everybody says, there's nothing wrong with them. Bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The White Russian Army, which was the Caucasian element of the Soviet Army in World War II, the White Russian Army were the first ones to come into Germany, and the Germans weren't really putting up much of a fight at that time. And when they knew that it was the White Russians, they actually probably invited some of them in. And the White Russians told the Germans to run. They said, "What's behind us is animals, and you need to get the hell out of here as fast as you can. Do not expect the Red Bolshevik Jew Soviet Army to have mercy." Because remember, when the Russian army was headed for Germany, it was Jews in Russia who were publicly saying, "Show no mercy to any German of any sex or any age, and rape and murder and pillage to your heart's content." That's what the Jews back in Russia were saying.
Well, the if we look at the Jews, they are the Bolsheviks. Why did we side with those in World War II? Now, our general, Patton, said we sided with the wrong side.
Yeah, he said we fought the wrong enemy.
Yeah, we should have sided with Germany, not Russia.
Yeah.
Why are we siding with these guys that murdered 100 million of us? Why are we siding with them?
Because they control the media and they control your government, and they put shekels in the pockets of our traitors to keep their acquiescence and their silence. That's how they do it. That's why Rothschild said many years ago, "I don't care who makes the laws of a land as long as I control money and the issuance of credit." Because when you control the money, you control everything.
The president was a Jew. Roosevelt. He was Jew. So we were stopped at the pass long before the war came. The minute they voted that guy in. Well, I got to get going, Pastor, but I really enjoyed the talk, and I enjoyed you and what's it, Mac?
Mark. Yeah,
I enjoyed what
guest.
You guys had.
Yeah. Okay, very good, Gary.
Yahweh bless.
Thanks a lot. Take care. I got a note here from one of our listeners here. Ralph says, "My German grandmother was in Petersburg, Russia during the 1918 revolution. She told me not to trust the Juden," which means Jews in German. Of course not. Even my parents and elders back when I was a boy in the 1950s told me never to trust the Jew. Okay, that was common knowledge in the 1950s. Okay, so what happened? Jews rose to power. And ever since 1913, when they took control of the issuance of our currency, they were able to manipulate banking to their benefit. Okay, it's not hard to make money, idiots, like in the stock market, when you have insider information. I can't stand these moronic white people that say, "Well, you know, Dan, those Jews are good with money. Look how rich they are. They're good with money." Hey, moron, let me give you a clue. When you have insider information and you control the banks and you have control over the government, you sort of know what's coming down the pike. It doesn't take a genius to make money like that. It's called criminal. It's called fraud. And if you were to do it, they will charge you with insider trading. But Jews do it daily. So don't give me this complete bullshit line that Jews are better with money than we are and smarter than we are. No, they're not. Number one, if they were, they wouldn't have to do the criminal things they do to stay in power. Okay? That's proof number one right there. I want to see you challenge it. If they were so damn smart and so good with investment on a level playing field, then why do they have to go to the levels they do to make the playing field not level? To alter the laws, to get insider information. Why did they steal the intellectual property of our entrepreneurs and give it to China? Because they were moving their operations to China. That's why. And China was a shithole country. And they don't want to live in a shithole country. So they stole our technology and gave it to the Chinese because with all of their shekels, they're able to buy off the corrupt Chinese government. And so China will be the new land where the parasite will land and suck the lifeblood out of the Chinese people. Feel sorry for them. You know what's coming. Ask the Russians. They know. Now Americans are finding out what it's like when the parasite sinks its teeth into your jugular vein and sucks the financial lifeblood out of you and corrupts your courts and corrupts your media, corrupts your cinema, corrupts your education, corrupts your medical profession, corrupts your schools. You're living in it. It's a cesspool. Well, we're at the tail end. Not much life left in us if we don't turn it around. But the poor Chinese have yet to learn all these lessons. As the old saying in the hill country goes, if you lay down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. When you lay down with Jews, you're going to end up with their fangs in your neck. That's where the myths about vampires come from. You think all these myths just came into somebody's wild imagination one time? What do you think they were trying to teach the children in those days? They don't understand politics. They don't understand medicine. But they do understand a good story. And so you create a creature that's around the fireside and you call him a vampire that lives on the blood of other people. And he operates in the dark. What does the Jew do? Operate in the dark behind closed doors, sucking the lifeblood literally and figuratively out of a society. That's where vampirism comes from. They're monsters. And yet your church is full of people praising the Jews as if they're God's chosen people. Well, partially they're right. If you read Ezekiel 25, verse 14, and Obadiah, verse 18, you'll find that they're chosen all right, but they're not chosen for what the church world's telling you. They're chosen to be stubble and set on fire, biblically speaking. That's judgment. Fire represents judgment. Ralph says here also Malachi chapter 4. Amen. That's another good one right there. Malachi chapter 4. Esau, Edom will become stubble, and Jacob and Joseph a flame and a fire. Joseph a flame and a fire. I got news to report to you that the fire has been ignited. The awakening that we've all been waiting for to reach significant levels is happening as we speak. And as that fire becomes more intense, it will consume this stubble. You have to understand something. The Jews get away with what they do because they do it in secrecy. They do it in the dark. And they prey upon us because of our ignorance and our lack of intuitiveness about what they're up to. And of course, the few of us that do expose them, they simply go in and assassinate them or give them a heart attack or poison them, as they did General George S. Patton in France. They have many, many ways to get rid of those who expose them. But the vast majority don't have enough sense to figure them out, and so they keep operating in the dark, getting away with their monstrous behavior, which is starting to come to light. When Jacob and Joseph become fully aware of the monstrosities committed by these hideous creatures, it won't take much for that fire to seek out Edom, Esau, and burn them to the ground. Figuratively, and perhaps even literally. We don't know. That's in Father's hands. All we know is at some point when all of this truth is revealed, Edom and Esau will have to pay for their crimes. Edom and Esau has been committing heinous crimes against all people on this earth for thousands of years. That's a lot of innocent blood on the hands of these absolute hideous creatures. Now, there's a lot of people out there say, well, Dan, you know, we've got examples like Brother Nathaniel and Dr. McCow and Benjamin Friedman and Rosenstein, the one that reported on what the Jews were all up to. And I think it might have been Rosenthal that ended up with a bullet in his head when he landed in Israel because he revealed what their agenda was to Professor White. Okay? You might bring them up. But let me remind you that the scriptures do not treat them as individuals. It treats them as a group. Just as 3/4 of the Bible's written to a people, not individuals, to a people, to a tribe, to a race. The very word nation means racial group who share religion, culture, heritage, language, and faith. That's what makes a nation. If you don't have all those things in common, you're not a nation. You're an empire. And empires never survive. You've got to have a homogeneous people to survive. That's why the enemy divides us and brings in all these aliens, because he knows that will divide and conquer us. This immigration's not going to end because the Bolsheviks want it. This current administration is not going to end it because the Bolsheviks won it. Okay? It doesn't take nearly an entire term of a United States president to end illegal immigration. Make me president of the United States, and I'll end immigration within 24 hours. Not 4 years. And he's never going to end it anyway, because the Bolsheviks, who made him who he is, want all this immigration. So, dear Americans and dear racial kin all over this world, you have to decide what you want. Do you want solutions, or do you want to keep playing this silly game where you're going to put the Republican Bolshevik or the Democratic Bolshevik in office and expect something different to happen? You haven't figured it out yet. Republican and Democrat are just two different descriptions of a different form of Bolshevism, but they're both Bolsheviks. They're both run by and financed by Bolsheviks. And if you want to see your loved ones treated the way the Russian families were treated when the Bolsheviks took over there, well, then just keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to witness it. You're going to witness your husband or your wife or your children nailed to the side of barns and trees and buildings. You're going to see your daughters raped and gang raped until the point of death. You're going to watch your children beaten to death. You're going to watch your wife disemboweled in front of you before she's finally killed, and then they will kill you. You think, oh, Dan, that's crazy. Really? You haven't read the eyewitness testimonies of the Russians that survived the Red Terror, have you? Well, unlike you morons, I have read it. And it sickened me. And it sickens me still to think that there's white people out there so ignorant that they're not even willing to learn about what these hideous monsters do when they take over. And for my fellow veterans out there, if you stand by while this takeover happens, may God curse you from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. May he burn you with disease, mental illness. May he have violence come upon you and your family. You are to be cursed and held in utter contempt. Because whether you like it or not, we took an oath to defend this nation, not the Constitution. Our rights and our people are older than the Constitution. Your oath is to defend the nation, the race, the people. And by extension, that applies to other races as well, who are under our protection. it's the white man's burden. That's what they used to call Christianity. The white man's burden. Because we were given gifts that other races weren't given. And again, if you haven't studied history, you have no clue what I'm talking about. But for those of you who have an open mind and do a little bit of research, you know damn well what I'm talking about. The other races suffer when the white race falls into complete rebellion and debauchery as we have today. Disease, violence, gangs, corruption, because it's the white man's job to bring what? What was Adam's job when he was put in the garden? To tend the garden. And what does tending the garden mean? It means establishing law and order. Law and order. Conversely, when the white man is disenfranchised and authorities given to interlopers and Bolsheviks, you have chaos. And that's where we're at. Utter chaos. There are some good things happening, and as it progresses, Yahweh willing, of course, I'm going to come back on and fill you in on some things that are taking place that are actually miraculous at this time. Further indication that there is a great awakening, further indication that white people are beginning to realize the seriousness of the situation. Praise Yahweh. I also want to remind you that this Wednesday night, John Mark will be our guest. And we will be talking about his latest videos that he's been putting up about Civil War II and about propertarianism and how much it fits in with much of what we talked about today, including the Worldwide Church of the Creator and the White Man's Bible written by Ben Clausen. All right? The tenets of those documents fit hand in glove with what we're teaching here. We don't need to be at odds with each other over a few minor disagreements, because the vast majority we are in agreement with. If you're looking for somebody to follow and somebody to get behind that's going to agree with you 100% on things, then prepare for the Bolshevik takeover and enslavement, because that's where you're going, all right? So just get ready for it, okay? Maybe you'll be the ones like the Germans that did not want to fall into the hands of the Reds and took their own life. It was that pathetic. Or maybe you want to live, but then you're going to wish you hadn't when you watch what the Bolsheviks do to you and your family. You have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. You're either going to be part of the resistance and the overthrow of these people, or you will not. Sad to say. I know a lot of people would like to sit on the fence. There is no fence this time. I've been telling you that for 20 years. Yahweh will not allow you to sit on a fence. That's why he said, you're either a goat or you're a sheep. You're either a tare or you're part of the wheat that I gather into my granary. And the tares will be gathered up for what? Burning. What does Obadiah say is going to happen to Edom Esau? Burning. What is going to happen to the white men and women who side with the Bolsheviks? Burning. Do you understand? Is it plain enough for you? There's only two choices, folks. Only two choices. The world wants you to think that it's everything is gray and you can choose this and you can choose to be a woman one day and a man the next. You can have your children dress up at 11 years old in drag and be put on national television. That is Satan. That is the works of Satan talking to you. If you think that you have a right to do that, you are greatly fooled. So again, we have some a really, really good interview coming up, and I would highly recommend folks go to freemadhale.org and, do what you can, folks. Do what you're led to do by the Father, but do something, even if it's just simply write a letter to Matt himself or to his mother, because she has been a fighter and she has struggled for a long, long time to see justice for her son. Why don't you have a little empathy for her? That's her son that's languishing in that prison, not knowing from one day to the next if a gang will jump him or some Jew doctor injects him with a poison like they did Edgar Steele. Okay? Put yourself in the positions of Cindy Steele and her lawyer when Edgar was being railroaded and poisoned. Evelyn Hutchinson as Matt languishes in a prison, and he's never committed a crime. Edgar Steele never committed a crime. Can you imagine the torment? Why not send some encouraging words and a prayer, maybe? If you're financially set, send a little money. It's expensive. Just ask people what they charge for the idiotic phone system in the prison system. I know. And that was years ago. It's outrageous what they do, how much money they charge for people within the prison system to talk to loved ones on the outside. It's criminal. The entire prison system is criminal, from top to bottom. Criminal. And I'll add to that, it's not biblical. Our Heavenly Father never gave us the right to put men and women in cages and treat them like animals. In fact, even animals don't deserve to be caged up like these men and women are. Okay? That's criminal. That's against you and me, folks, for allowing this to continue. So it's not just Matt Hale and Uri Call and Edgar Steele and the thousands upon thousands of other men and women in prison unlawfully. All because they're making money through prison industries and other ways. And besides that, you never know when a loved one leaves that prison system, they might be missing organs. They might be missing their blood because these vampires are committing despicable crimes against we the people. Not just in the prison system, but in the hospitals, in the blood banks, in the universities, and so-called foundations, they hide behind all of these and perform their satanic deeds. All that will become known very soon. I'm praying for that Ezekiel 37 army to arise very soon. That Gideon army, that army of Rhadamanthine men. Remember what that word means? R-H-A-D-A-M-A-N. T-H-I-N-E, Rhadamanthine, to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. How many men and women do you know that have that adjective describing them? How many people in government or law enforcement can you use the word Rhadamanthine to describe them? You better be thinking very, very strongly about a military solution and at least temporarily a biblical monarchy such as was under King David. A lot can be accomplished with a righteous man as the monarch and righteous warriors behind him. That's all you need, folks. You don't need a new banking system. You don't need all kinds of toys and gadgets and electronics. You don't need all that. You need a righteous leader and a righteous army willing to get in behind him and support him in the war against evil. As General Patton said, let the other dumb bastard die for their cause. We've had enough innocent blood shed by our people. Isn't it about time the wicked pay? Obadiah says so. The timing says so. The book of Revelation says so. How about you? What do you say? Okay, that's about it for today. Let's see, we're up to, 107 listening. That's excellent. That's excellent. Thank you, Miss Angel. And to the folks that are listening out there, thank you for coming in and sharing with us Again, that was Mark from Louisiana that was with us talking about Matt Hale and his predicament and the fact that we need to work to get men like that out of these damn prisons and return them to service for our people. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to come together. We pray for Mark and all of his efforts to free Matt. We pray for Evelyn and all of her efforts to free her son. We pray that you would go in that dirty, dank prison and be with Matt himself and lift him up by thy Holy Spirit. We pray that there is an army of righteous men out there that have had enough. When will the Ezekiel 37 army be let loose, Father Yahweh? How much more innocent blood needs to be shed? That's all it will take is the righteous to stand firm and the wicked will flee. The righteous need to stand firm like a lion. As James Lancey has said on this program, it's time for men to be lions again. We've been cucks and sheeps and cowards for a long time. When will we take up arms in the defense of the innocent, for the widow, and for the orphan, as the good book says, instead of playing these silly-ass games with Satan's kids? We have much to be ashamed of, Father Yahweh, and we pray that you would forgive us that. We know we don't deserve to be saved, not certainly by our actions and deeds, but by your might and because of who you are and because of the word that you gave our ancestors. We ask that you bring about the restoration of this world and the putting down of all that commit evil and wicked deeds, and that the righteous might stand firm upon the land again and this poor earth be restored to its pristine condition. We ask for all these things in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.